It's always good to come back and see familiar faces, see new faces. Got to meet a lot of the guys and get to know a lot of guys at the camping trip. Camping trip was a lot of fun, except for when Pastor Andrew tried to kill me. But it was a lot of fun, and I'm glad to be here. And I want to say thank you to Pastor Andrew and his wife. They're always very kind to us. They always treat us nicely, and he allowed me to preach this morning, and I'm very thankful for that. I don't take it lightly. Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Now, that might fall. I'm going to put it over here. I want to make sure. Is it okay if I set it here?
Yeah.
It might leave a ring. So. All right, Exodus chapter number 3. If you don't know me, my name, I introduce myself and my family. We've been here many times. I see a lot of new faces, which is a good thing. I don't know if you listen to sermons online. I've been here before. I've preached. I was telling Pastor Anderson, one of the families that was at the camp this week, they don't attend the church, but they listen to the sermons online a lot. And he you know, shook my hand, and I introduced myself. He said, "Oh, yeah, I listened to a lot of your sermons." And he looked at me, and he says, "You sound taller." I don't know if that was like a compliment or a diss. You can't see me behind the pulpit. Just close your eyes. So Exodus chapter number 3. We'll read the whole chapter. The Bible says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see God, he called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto a place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly, I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the afflictions of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and ye shall say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us. And now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor, and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver, and jewels of gold, and raiment, and ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for Faithful Word Baptist Church. Thank you for Pastor Anderson and his family and everybody that's gathered here today. Lord, there's not many churches like this one. There's not any churches like this one. And Lord, I ask that you help us, help me. I pray that the Spirit of the Lord would come upon me as I attempt to preach these verses and these thoughts that you've given me. I pray that you'd allow me to be used of you to help these people, to challenge these people, and that they might learn and grow today. Lord, thank you so much for everything you've done for us. Thank you for our salvation. In your precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
I want to preach a sermon this morning. I've entitled The Proper Response to God. The Proper Response to God. Moses was a great man of God. I don't think any of us would disagree with that. Moses was a great man of God. We would all love to end our lives and have a testimony like Moses did. I don't think anybody would disagree with that statement. We would all love to end our lives and be able to be looked at in the way that Moses was looked at, to have the testimony that Moses had. Let me just give you some real quick examples of the relationship that God had with Moses, what made Moses so special. The Bible says that Moses spoke to God as a friend. Exodus 33:11. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it to you. If you'd like to turn there, that's fine. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle." So the Bible tells us Moses spoke to God as a friend speaketh unto a friend. That's not a common thing. Most people, the Bible doesn't say that anybody just spoke to God as a friend does, but it says that about Moses. Another example, God personally, this really impressed me, God personally stood up for Moses. When Aaron and Miriam, Moses' siblings, they were bad-mouthing Moses, they were talking bad about him behind his back, Numbers 12:6 says, and he said, "Hear now my words." This is God speaking, he's rebuking Miriam, he's rebuking Aaron, and he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream." So he says, if there's a prophet among you, if there's a preacher among you, he says, God says, I'm going to speak to them in a vision. I'm going to speak to them in a dream. Verse 7 says, "My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore, then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses." I mean, do you see that? I mean, God doesn't just step in. I mean, it's like a family quarrel. It's a dispute. His siblings are talking bad about it. And God takes the time to step in. He says, "Hey, look, if it was just a prophet, I'll speak to him in a dream. I'll speak to him in a vision." But he says, Moses is not so. He said, Moses, I'll speak to him mouth to mouth. Moses is one of the few men in the Bible that is referred to as the man of God. Deuteronomy 33:1 says, "And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death." I mean, those are just some examples that I thought about, a few things about that make Moses special. Moses was, he wasn't just the average Christian. He was somebody different. He was somebody who we would all love to one day be like Moses, all have the relationship with God that Moses had. Now, what was it that made Moses such a great man? I believe that the answer is found in Exodus chapter 3. What made Moses different? I believe the answer is found in the initial response that Moses gave when confronted with God. I think, obviously, you get saved. And after you get saved, though, God speaks to you through the preaching, through the Bible. God confronts you, and that response you give God is going to determine how it is that you live the rest of your spiritual life, how it is that you end the rest of your life. So let's go ahead and get started. Number one, obviously this is just common. I'm going to go through this real fast. Moses heard God's call. Moses heard God's call. Exodus 3:1. Now, Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. Let me just start by saying this. It's kind of all introduction. But God is always looking for a servant. Amen. God is always looking for somebody. And God needs somebody today. Very well-known verse, Ezekiel 22:30 says, and I sought for a man among them. This is God talking. He says, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. And he makes a very sad statement. He says, and I found. But I found none. God is always looking for somebody. God is right now looking for somebody. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a preacher. It doesn't have to be a man. It doesn't have to be a male. It can be a woman, a lady, a child. God is always looking for somebody to serve him. He's always calling for somebody. So when Moses heard God's call, he makes two statements. Two real quick statements. This isn't a very long sermon. Last time I was here, I preached a sermon entitled The Rise of the Antichrist. And the sermon, I think it was 120 minutes or something like that. It was like really long. It was a long sermon. Look, I know you guys are used to that. I don't usually preach that long. What happened was I was sick. It was the last camping trip. My wife got sick on the way here. And the rest of us got sick after that. And the whole church was sick. I didn't get it till Sunday morning. And then it got worse and worse progressively throughout the day. Pastor Anderson had me preach Sunday night, and I mean literally just like 10 minutes before the sermon, I was throwing up in the bathroom back there. And when you preach and you're sick, you're like unconscious kind of, like you don't really, your mind is just foggy. And I was just going, here's the other problem. I was preaching about the end times, and when you're preaching about the end times, you got tons of notes, and I couldn't really think straight, so I was just going through my notes, didn't really think of the time, and at the end, it was 120 minutes later. We were done. We were all done. But anyway, so this is going to be a long sermon. I'm going to let you guys early today, all right? I'm going to make up for it. But Moses made two statements, and those are the two points I kind of want to focus in on. Point number one is Moses was available. Look at verse number four. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, and he said, here am I. Moses was available. If you say you're here today, and I understand this is a Sunday morning crowd, and there's a lot of buildings in town, a lot of buildings across the nation that are holding services that people go to. Now, you're not going to the average church in America. I don't know if you know that. If you don't know that, then just stop listening to what I'm saying. But this isn't a normal church.
Right.
This is a different church. This is an independent, fundamental, Baptist, King James, Bible-believing, soul-winning, screaming, yelling, kicking, spitting type church. If you don't know that, then you might as well just get used to it, because that's where you're at. And even for an independent, fundamental Baptist church, this church is radically different.
Amen.
It's just a little... I think what Pastor Anderson is trying to do, he's trying to make a difference. I think that's what he's trying to do. I think he read that in Jude somewhere. Must have heard for someone. But anyway, so if you're here today, I just got to think to myself that you want to serve God. I mean, otherwise you'd be at the Neo Church down the street. Otherwise, I mean, unless I actually want to have a relationship with God, unless I actually want to do something in my life, I would not be here. I'd be at home, I'd be taking a nap, I'd be cleaning up my stuff from the camping trip, I'd be doing whatever. But if you're here today, if you're a faithful Word Baptist church, I just gotta imagine that either you're a first-time visitor and you're not coming back, or you're here because you want to serve God. And if you're gonna serve God, you've gotta understand how to respond to God. And the first thing that Moses said, the first thing that came out of his mouth, when he heard God's call, when God said, Moses, Moses, Moses responded, Lord. Well, he didn't say Lord, but he said, here am I. Moses was available. Here's a question. Have you made yourself available to God? I know you're thinking to yourself, yes. And many times we say, yes, we're available. But it's not true. Being available doesn't mean that you're at Sunday morning service. Being available doesn't mean you're at Sunday night service or Wednesday night service. I'm not talking about being available like you're coming to church. I'm not talking about being available like you're going to a camping trip. I'm talking about being available, like maybe one day these young guys have to go start a church somewhere. They got to pack up their stuff and they got to pack up their family and they got to go serve God somewhere. That's what I'm talking about being available. I'm talking about being available like maybe not being as big of a success in your career as you hope to or you dreamt to or your parents dreamt for you. I'm talking about being available like giving up your dreams and your aspirations and your hopes to do the work of God. I'm talking about being available, like sacrificing your life for God, maybe literally. See, Moses said, here am I, he was available. If God would have called Moses and Moses would have been like, what's up? Or what's going on? Or what do you need? Or tell me, God, what do you want me to do? And then I'll decide. But that's not what Moses said. Moses didn't say, hey, God, what do you want? And then I'll let you know if I can do that. I'll let you know if that's something I'm willing to do. Moses said, hey, God, here am I. I'm here, I'm ready, I'm willing to serve. Tell me what you've got for me, I'm ready to do it. And if you're going to have a testimony, if you're going to have a life, if you're going to have end your spiritual life in a way where you're willing and you're happy like Paul was to go to heaven and meet God, you're not going to get there till you get to the point and you say, God, my life is available. God, I'm here to serve you. Moses could have said no. Moses could have been in line. I mean, I don't know this. I don't think the Bible says it. I've looked for it. I've never seen it. It doesn't mean it's not there. I don't know this, but I don't know that it's not true also. But Moses could have been in line for the throne in Egypt. Have you ever thought about that?
Yes.
Moses, I mean, I don't know. Maybe he wasn't. And if I'm not, then I'm wrong. But it'll make good preaching, so let's just go with it. Moses could have been in line for the throne in Egypt. Hebrews 11:24 says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather the afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Moses, I mean, could you imagine that? Could you imagine being... Well, I'm sure you can imagine this because you're in it. But could you imagine being on the most powerful, living in the most powerful nation in the world? I mean, the leader of the world. Financially, the Egyptians had it. I mean, militarily, the power of the world. At this time, they led the world. And not only was Moses a citizen of this country, he was in the royal family. He was adopted by into the Pharaoh's family. He could have potentially had... I mean, he could have definitely got a good government job, I'm sure. Like, he was set. He was ready. But Moses, the Bible says that he refused to be called the son of the daughter of Pharaoh. And he decided, he said, hey, I'm going to be available. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to give God my life. It doesn't matter. And see, the problem with Christians, and the problem with even good Christians, even Faithful Word Christians, even Fundamental Baptists and saved people, is that many times we say, God, and we bargain with God. We say, God, I want to give you a little bit. I'll give you my Sunday morning. I'll give you my Sunday night. He's preaching in Titus. Okay, I'll give you my Wednesday night. But you don't want to give God your life. You say, I'll give you this area of my life, and I'll give you this, and you bargain, and you say, but this right here, this is mine. This sin, whatever it might be, this television, that's a little too much. This this program I watch, or this, God, okay, I get it. I won't drink alcohol, every Friday night, but a glass of wine with my dinner. And you make bargains, and you say, God, I'm not willing to... Look, listen up. Moses was not bargaining with God. When Moses heard God's call, Moses said, hey, God, here am I. I'm able, I'm ready, I'm willing. Tell me what you've got for me. I'll go. The question I got for you is, do you have the same attitude? Would you say, God, I'd be willing to lose everything to serve you? I mean, would you be willing to say, God, I'd be willing to lose my family? In the last, year or two, I've led like four or five guys to the Lord at my work and different areas that I know, and it's really weird. My wife and I talk about this. It seems like in our nation right now, it seems like there's a lot of just like young guys, like 20 to an old man, like Pastor Anderson, 28, you know, like that range. There's a lot of just young guys who are like getting excited about God. They want to serve God. But there's like, there's a lack of women in the same range. I mean, the girl, it seems, I don't know why, but it seems like you can't just get the females in the same range to get excited like the guys are. And I've led like four or five guys. No, I'm being serious. I've led four or five guys that are about my age, 23, 24, whatever, to the Lord. They start coming to church. They get excited. They start going soul winning. They're reading their Bibles, but their wives aren't excited. Their wives, they're not mean. They'll come to church, but they don't want to. They're not the here am I crowd. They're not the I'm available and I'm ready to go. And I've seen that just in the last 2 years, I've seen these wives take these men and just stop it. They were excited. They were getting excited. They were writing sermons. They were going to preach at men's preaching night. They were going soul winning. They were memorizing the Bible. And then all of a sudden, their wife just puts a stop to it. And here's the thing. That's a sad thing. But, you know, your God is more important than your wife.
That's right.
I don't know if you know that. I mean, your wife is pretty important. And I'm not telling you, you know, you're going to, don't walk out of here today and say that. I told you to get divorced because I didn't say that. But if your wife says, hey, you got to choose between that church and me, or God and me, or that Bible and me, then you got to decide, I go with God. That's a hard choice. You say, well, I can't do that. I know, that's why America's dying and going to hell. You say, well, I got to decide between God and my work. I got to go with my job. I know, that's why America's dying and going to hell. You say, well, I love God and I want to serve God, but there are certain things I cannot give up. There are certain things I cannot do, and I can't quit that for God. And I'm telling you, that's why we're in the state we're in.
Right.
That's why we don't have Moses walking around. That's why we don't have Elijah's and Paul's and John's. Why? Because we've got a whole lot of Christians who say, I'll go to church, and I'll read the Bible, and I'll go to the camping trip. But I'm not available to God. You know what we need some teenagers who are going to say, I'm available to God. Here am I. Isaiah 6:8 says, go ahead and turn there, Isaiah 6:8. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8 says, also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, this is Isaiah speaking, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, see ye indeed, but perceive not. I didn't write this in my notes, but I just thought about it right now. When God calls you and you make yourself available, he's going to go. You say, oh, I'm so depressed because I had a horrible upbringing and my mom and dad told me I was a horrible person. Look, and they said, I can't be used of, you know, they told my dad used to say, my dad is a great man. Let me just make that disclaimer. My dad is a great man. He's a great Christian. I'm not, but my dad, and this is a Hispanic thing. Sometimes Hispanics are a little more brutal, I guess, in their language. But he used to grow up telling us, you're worthless. But he said it lovingly, you know what I'm saying? and he'd be like, you're worthless. Now, look, the average person, not the average, but a lot of people, you know, maybe you grow up and you're like, man, I'm worthless. You know, you got like a, I hate to use these terminologies. You got like a self-esteem issue. Look, self-esteem, that's not in the Bible. The word self-esteem is not in the Bible. The Bible says esteem, it talks about esteeming others better than yourself. But you know, you got these issues where you're just like, oh, you're saying my teenage daughter, my teenage son, they got these issues, they don't think much of themselves, and maybe they're afraid to say, well, if I give myself to God, will God use me? Yes. If I make myself available to God, I'm afraid that God, you know, because I made myself available to my friends and they dissed me, and I wanted to help my mom and dad, and they kind of, you know, told me I was worthless, and everything I try to do, people don't want me. Hey, let me tell you something. God loves you. God hates you. God is going to use you. He says, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And what does he say? What does God say? Go. Does he say, well, get some training. Go to Bible college. Is that what he says? He says, go and tell this people, hear you indeed, but understand not, and see you indeed, but perceive not. God used them. And if you're afraid and you got some sort of, you know, issues with your parents or whatever, and you say, well, I don't know if God can use you, I'm going to tell you, God will use you.
Right.
God will use you. God will use you. But have you made yourself available? I told you the sermon was short. I'm already on the last point. Number two. Moses was available. Moses was humble. Look at verse 11. Exodus 3, 11. Exodus chapter number 3. Verse 11 says, and Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Now, I've heard this passage preached a lot growing up. You know, I've grown up in church, and many preachers like to beat up on Moses right here. They like to say, you know, Moses was putting up excuses. Moses didn't want to serve. Moses didn't want to go. Moses, you know, he says, who am I? And he's just kind of putting up all these excuses. And there might be some truth to that, I don't know. But, as I read that, but more than just reading that, as I see the life of Moses, and I see all that he put up with, and all that he endured, I really don't think that he's putting up an excuse and he's just trying to get out of it. If he's trying to get out of it, I mean, there was a time when God said to him, you know, move aside, I'm going to destroy this whole nation, I'm just going to start over with you. And he said, no, God, don't do that. I mean, if he was trying to get out of it, I think he had chances. I think when Moses was confronted with God, when Moses heard God call his name, Moses, Moses, and he responded, here am I. And God explained to him, hey, Moses, this is what I've got for you to do. This is what I've got for your life. I need you to go to Egypt. I need you to serve me. I need you to preach for me. I need you to set captives free. And when Moses heard this great span of what God had for him, he could only respond with these three words, who am I? Who am I that I should go into Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel? Numbers 12:3 says, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men that were upon the face of the earth. I think what we're missing in America, in Faithful Word Baptist Church, is a whole lot of people who, number one, haven't made themselves available, but number two, they haven't made themselves available because of pride. Moses said, who am I? Go to 2 Peter chapter number 1, please. 2 Peter chapter number 1. See, we don't have the right vision of God. And the truth of the matter is, we don't have the right vision of ourselves. We don't see ourselves the way we need to. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Verse 5 says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling election sure. And if you do these things, you shall never fall. But look at the last little phrase in verse number 9. It says, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Now, I'm going to take a drink of water. That's all right. That's good. I'm not one of these guys, and I know your pastor's not one of these guys. You should not, and this is wrong, you should not go around being this type of person. And I kind of preached this in Spanish. I got to preach for the Spanish service, the Spanish class. You know, they got Spanish class here. And Pastor Anderson said, hey, you speak Spanish. You want to teach the class? And then after talking to me for a little bit, he determined that I don't know how to teach Spanish. So we just decided I'm going to preach. And they didn't understand, but it's hard. Well, he understood. And then there was a range. Some people said they understood like 70%. I think they were lying. Because see, I was preaching, and I could see the look on their face. The look on their face was like, you know, like, the lights are on, but no one's home type thing. You know. And my wife understood some, but she doesn't count. But a man understood. You see that 1%? I was impressed. Anyway, let's get back to sermon. A lot of people, you know, you walk around with this complex and you're like, oh, you don't know the type of life I've led. You don't know the type of sin that I've been in. You don't know the things that I've done. And you shouldn't be that kind of person. You shouldn't go through life just always remembering your sin. Look, when God saved you, He saved you from your sin. He purged you from your sin. He separated, the Bible says He separated you from your sin. And that's your past sin, the sins you're committing right now, and the sins in the future. You shouldn't go around just remembering and defeating you, because that's how Satan wants to get you. He wants to remind you of all your sins. And when you want to do something for God, He's going to say, well, don't you remember you did this? And don't you remember when you did that? And don't you remember when you failed God here? And look, let me tell you something. The grace of God is abundant enough to cover your sin. But you should have a healthy remembrance of being purged from your sin. The reason a whole lot of Christians and a whole lot of people aren't humble, or we're not humble, or we get pride-filled, is because we seem to forget that even the preacher and even the pastor, and you say, well, I've been here, going here for a long time, and I'm on staff, and I go soul winning every day, and whatever. I've memorized so much Bible, and I've done so much, and you seem to forget that you're still just a sinner that was condemned to hell that Jesus Christ saved. And if you just remember that, if you just remember that if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, you'd be on your way to hell. If you got what you deserve, you'd be burning in hell right now. If you just have a healthy, I'm talking about a healthy remembering that one day you were purged from your sins, that might keep you humble. Because once you start thinking a little bit more of yourself, well, I'm the song leader. Well, I go soul-winning. Well, I wear a shirt and a tie, and I got a black suit on, and whatever. Then you start thinking, and you say, man, I'm a pretty good guy. I forget which one of the guys was. Somebody was preaching about. I think somebody was preaching about being humble. Somebody preached about being humble? I don't remember. Maybe. I must have been preaching while they were preaching in my head. They were talking about. Somebody was saying, you know, I'm humble and I'm proud of it. And that's the attitude we have. You know? You say, well, I'm a humble person. But if you just remember. Because it says, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. 1 Peter 5, 6 says, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. We've got to be humble. We've got to get a right perspective of ourselves to God. America is the greatest nation that's ever been. If you disagree with that, then you're an idiot. Because it's true. There's been no nation that has been freer than this nation. There's been no nation that's had the Bible like this nation has had. There's no nation that has had preaching like this nation has had. God has blessed America. But I think what happens sometimes is that because we're Americans, And we have nice cars, and we have nice buildings to meet in, and we've got a copy of the Bible, and we have the freedom to go soul winning, and we have the freedom to preach, and to go to camping trips, and to be Christians. And even though America's gone a long way in just the last year, even though we've gone so far, we're still the greatest country that's ever been. I think a lot of times it's hard for us to remember that we're nothing. Bible says, I can do all things through Christ. And we think, I can do all things. Because I've got a GPS, and I've got an iPhone, and I've got a computer, and I've got a laptop, and I'm all powerful, and I've got the money, I've got the boat, I've got the cars, I've got the clothes, but you're nothing without God. Amen. You're a sinner condemned to hell. And if you forget that, then you lose the attitude of, who am I? Because we start soul winning, and we start getting people saved, and we start people start growing, and we start thinking that we're doing it, and you're not doing it, it's God doing it. It's God using you. And without God, you couldn't do it. Without God, you couldn't lead somebody to the Lord. Without God, I couldn't preach today. Without God, you couldn't be here. The only reason you're here is because God allows you to. When we forget that, we think our kids aren't my kids, and our stuff is my stuff. And unless you get to the place where you just look at God and say, God, who am I? Moses was a humble man. Why is it that Moses was the greatest prophet that ever lived. He's probably one of the greatest Christians who ever lived. And he started out by saying, God, here am I. And then he says, who am I? Number one, under this point, you should have a very clear understanding of who you are compared to God. But number two, we need to remember that God is the main character in our lives. And God is the main character in our lives. I think a lot of times, you know, you grow up, before you get right with God, you grow up watching a lot of TV, you know what I'm saying? You watch a lot of, when I was a kid, I watched a lot of TV. I didn't have like video games and Nintendo games. I never had any of that because we were too poor to have it. But we had a little black and white TV and I watched it. I watched a lot of it. And I think a lot of times, you know, that generation of the kids who watch a lot of TV, play a lot of games, you know, play a lot of video games, you kind of start thinking of your life like a show, like a TV show, you know? Like you're the main character in your show. Am I the only one that thought that? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, as you walk through life, like, other people don't really matter. Other things, like, you're the main character in your show, like, your little drama. Like, what's going on in your life, that's all that matters. Nothing else matters. I mean, when life starts gets chaotic for you, like, you shut down and you can't think of anything else because you're the main character. You know what I'm saying? And you've got to remember that God is the main character of your life. John, let me give you an example. John the Baptist, another great man of God, another great preacher, was asked about his diminishing ministry and Jesus Christ's flourishing ministry. John the Baptist, the Bible tells us he came before Jesus to prepare the way for Jesus. And he was radically different than his society. And he started seeing, you know, kind of like right now, Pastor Anderson came to Phoenix, Arizona, and there was nobody. It was him and his family meeting in a house. And how many years have you been here? Three years?
Yeah.
Three and a half years later, I mean, look at this. You know, he starts doing something. He started preaching, he started doing, and John Baptist the same way. People started following him, people started getting saved, people started getting baptized, and he started doing something, but then Jesus Christ shows up. And all of a sudden, that following that was following John the Baptist, and everybody was going now everybody was going to Jesus Christ's family tree. Now everybody was going to Jesus' church. And all his people started leaving him, and his disciples started leaving him, and they asked him, John, what do you think about this? Man, look, your parking lot's empty, and Jesus' parking lot over there, it's full, and everybody's going to his church, everybody's following him. What do you think about that? And I love the statement that John the Baptist says. Go to John 3. John chapter 3. John chapter number 3. Verse 26 says, I'm still in Exodus. All right. John chapter 3, verse 26 says, and they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. Like, all men are going to Jesus. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. And just look at this. I mean, you know John's just got to be a great preacher. He just comes up with this. I mean, obviously I know the Holy Spirit of God gave to him. But he says, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. And he gives this little kind of story. He says, look, because they're asking, they're like, are you upset about this? This guy's baptizing more than you're baptizing. You're John the Baptist. It's in your name. And he's baptizing more than you baptize. These people are following him. What do you think? Are you upset about it? I mean, should we go anti-Jesus or what? And he says to them, look, I told you, I'm not the Christ. I'm here to prepare the way. But I love this little story he gives. He says, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. So he says, when you go to a wedding, the bridegroom, the guy that's getting married, the guy that has the bride, he's the bridegroom. And he says, but the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly. So he gives this little illustration. He says, look, imagine if you go to a wedding, and there's a bride, she's going to get married, and there's a guy who's going to marry her. It's all about them. He's like, if I'm the best man, if I'm the friend standing far side, offside, hey, I'm rejoicing, I'm glad that they're getting married, but it's all about them. And he's saying, look, yes, I'm a preacher. Yes, I was sent before Jesus Christ. Yes, I'm going out. But hey, Jesus Christ is the bridegroom. And the bride, the Christians that are going to be the bride of Christ, he says, I'm just a friend. I'm just the best man. And I love it because he's saying, look, this whole show, I'm not the main character. Jesus Christ is. He says, in this life, in this drama, in my life, it's not about me, it's about God. And then he makes the most beautiful statement that you can think of. He says, he must increase, but I must decrease.
Amen.
Amen.
It's good.
What is he saying? He's saying, I'm not the main character. He says, Jesus Christ is the main character. He says, this life is a wedding, he's a bridegroom. I'm just a friend. Because see, these guys are following him. And it's easy when you're a leader and you got people following you to start thinking, it's all about me. Hey, you young guys, when you go start a church and you it starts growing and you start preaching and you do something for God, keep in mind, it's not about you. You're just a friend. He must increase, but I must decrease. Is it a coincidence that Jesus Christ said about John the Baptist, verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. That's a profound statement. He said, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Jesus Christ said of John the Baptist, there is not a greater man on earth than John the Baptist. I wonder if it had something to do with the fact that John understood that he needed to be humble. And it's all about God. It's all about Christ. Now here's the question. Here's the challenge. Who's the main character in your life? Who's taking the lead? Who's taking the lead role? Because if you're like, let me tell you this right now. If you're missing, if you're the type of guy, if you're the type of person that, you know, you hit and miss, you know, you're, our old pastor used to call them SMOs, Sunday morning onlys. And you say, well, I come to church on Sunday morning, but I've got things to do on Sunday night. Then you're in charge of your role. You see what I'm saying? You say, well, I don't like that kind of preaching. Hey, look, you're at faithful work. Good night. If you say, well, I make it to Wednesday night, but sometimes I don't, and I've got so many important things. You don't understand. I've got so many things. I've got people that are relying on me. I've got so many responsibilities. All you're saying to me is, you think you're in charge. You think you're the main guy. You say, well, you know, I know they go soul winning so much, and I've been meaning to make it out to that, but it's because you're in charge. And we're not going to make a difference. We're not going to change America. We're not going to get people saved. You're not going to impact this society and at least this community for God to get a group of people who are going to decide, God, not only am I available, but I understand exactly who I am. I am here to serve God. John the Baptist, the greatest man who ever lived, said, he must increase, but I must decrease. And until you get the same perspective, until I get the same perspective, we are not going to do anything for God. We need Christians who are being used of God in a great way, like John the Baptist, like Isaiah, like Moses. Would to God we would have a generation of young men, of young women, who would respond to God in the way that Moses responded to God and said, God, here am I. But not only that, who am I? Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm not anybody. I'm not worthy to stand behind a pulpit and read verses and expound upon your word. Lord, I just ask that you would help these people. This wasn't anything they've heard this. They know this. But God, would you please help these people to decide today that they're going to put you number one in their lives? That every choice they make will be dependent on what you want, not what they want. Thank you, Lord, so much for Faith Forward Baptist Church. Thank you for Pastor Anderson and his family. And thank you so much for the members of this church, for the soul winning, for the preaching, the music. We love you, Lord. In your precious name I pray. Amen.